Jake, appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
How do you sum up that day?
Strange day, to be fair. Obviously, we probably didn't bowl as well as we'd like to early, but we got a few wickets, which probably made that session even the first one, but they batted beautifully in that second session. The wickets quite nice for batting, and I think, we probably missed our lengths a lot, and they're aggressive players and world-class players, and they batted beautifully.
It's raining now, and we appreciate you standing out in the rain having a chat to us, but were there moments there after tea where you thought, gee, should we be playing now, given the fact that there was moments where it wasn't raining, and yes, it was dark, but did you think that as a player as to whether you could have got back out there?
To be honest with you, any chance not to field is pretty good for me. They had a bit of momentum, England, as well, too. So from a tactical point of view, we probably wanted to squash that a little bit. But as you said, we always want to be out there in front of the fans doing our job. But at the same time, there was a lot of momentum their way. So hopefully we can bring that back tomorrow. The bowlers can reset and the fielders can get the job done tomorrow.
Jake Stewart-Clark, mate, the wicket, it looked green, but it actually played pretty well. What did you make of the wicket?
Yeah, it's hard to tell a deep third man, but it looked like it was beautiful. Obviously, the batters there, some of the late cuts that Joey was playing, that's probably a good sign of a good wicket. It did look green, and the boys said it did nip around a little bit early, like most new ball wickets, but it did look slow from a fair way away. So it's pretty enticing as a batter to get out there.
With the ball nipping around, you sort of alluded to missed your lengths a little bit, and then once they got in, obviously they batted well.
Yeah, exactly right. It's obviously probably a new ball wicket. It's going to nip around early like most wickets do early, but we probably didn't take advantage of that well enough. In saying that, we did have them 3 for 50 or 3 for 60, so I can't be too harsh on them, but at the same time, I think by their standards, they'll be a little bit disappointed, but I think it's a good sign. If you can get in on this wicket, you can put some hurt on, which would be great.
Weather's dizzy here, mate. You living the dream, mate.
Always.
Your first opportunity in Test cricket comes in one of the biggest series going around Ashes. Is this a bit of a pinch yourself moment, dream come true?
Yeah, it is. It's always hard not to just sit there and stare at the people around you half the time. Obviously, the ledges of the game, you see walk around the change rooms, walk around the ground. I'm so nervous about walking out the middle. We obviously got all the batters that I've admired for so long, and obviously the players within our change room that I've admired for such a long time too. So now it is a pinch myself moment, but I'm trying to slowly work my way into it all and find my place in it, and hopefully I can make some runs this game and solidify my spot. But yeah, it's been great fun.
You've obviously had a moment to sit around as a team during this rain delay during the final session on day one. I know the option's not available to you, but if you had your chance to change your team, obviously notably no frontline spinner, is there any thought that maybe that would be handy given the way that the deck's played out?
To be honest with you, I don't really know, to be fair. I don't know if it would spin much either, to be honest with you, and it's quite slow out there. Obviously, we have Bo Webster, who doesn't bowl much faster than a spinner, so so we'd probably be all right. And he can bowl both, too. So, I don't know. We'll have to find out by the end of the game. Hopefully, we've made the right decision. I think we've bat pretty deep this game, so which would be good. If they make a big score in the first innings, we can get in front of them or get close to them, too. So, yeah, I think the extra batting might be a good thing as well.
Good luck with the blade when you get a hit, Jake. Appreciate your time. We'll let you get out of the rain.
No worries. Thank you.
Jake Weatherald from the Australian camp. So stumps on day one, 3 for 211 England.
He was always going to say that, Corby, wasn't
always.
He?
Always. I've got to ask and he's going to answer it.
That's exactly right. He's never going to say that. Like, imagine if he just came out and said, selector's got that badly wrong. Like, that's a disgrace.
Ridiculous not playing. And I would have left him. If I was a champ, I would have picked him. Weatherall, black mark. not to be selected again.
Grandstand at stumps, Corbin Middlemouth, Stuart Clark, Jason Gillespie with you to sum up what has been the opening day of the Pink Test, the fifth test in the Ashes series. 44,415 the attendance, and just repeating that stump score, 3 for 211 with an unbeaten 100 or unbroken 154 run stand between Joe Root and Harry Brook. So story of the day, we might start from the top and run through it in chronological order. So England obviously win the toss, they decide to bat first, the teams come through. The England side, not so much of a surprise. Potts comes in. Gus Atkinson's missing. Potts was the only unused fast bowler so far. And Shoaib Bashir, who basically comes out as a tourist, he's been there for all five test matches and didn't play any of them. He was left out. And similarly in the Australian lineup, the frontline spinner was overlooked. But from an Australian perspective, that is the first time in an SCG test match since 1888 that Australia have not played a frontline spinner. That is an incredible stat. Todd Murphy's home test debut will have to wait. And as a result, Bo Webster replaced Jai Richardson. So they lengthen the batting. So from seven down, the lineup looks like Green, Webster, Nisa, Stark and Boland. And there's no hindsight in any of this, Jason Gillespie. Your first comments off the top of the broadcast today were very much, you didn't like it. You didn't like the fact there was no spinner there.
No, and I haven't changed my thoughts, in fact. If anything, just what I witnessed today, what we witnessed today, just solidified my thinking. It just looks to me as though, the Australians don't think it will take turn. It's whatever. But also, it says to me they've got some concerns about their batting. And they would just want some reinforcements because Bo Webster, with all due respect to him, is not the best four bowlers in Australia. So it's clearly a choice to lengthen the batting and because they don't think spin's going to play a role.
Yeah, they don't think spin's going to play a role, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, given what we saw today, it seems not playing a role either because it looks fairly benign when Webster had the ball. I think it's also... You know, they want to give Webster a game, but you've also got Cameron Green, who they've invested so much time into, and they want to see him prosper.
But you need the return on your investment.
Yeah, and that's the point. How long do you keep investing in something for if it's not giving you the return you're asking for? Now, maybe they're sitting there going, well, look, the next test match is not for 7 months. If we drop him for a game, and then we're going to look silly anyway. So play him. And we'll stuff around with the order, and you know we won't play a spinner. That's what we're all getting frustrated about because we're thinking, well, maybe you should play a spinner on this wicket because it looks like it's going to take turn at some stage.
Well, the other aspect is it not playing a spinner or is it not playing Todd Murphy? Like if it was Nathan Lyon, would they have made the same choice? And I'm sure the Aussie selectors can point to the fact that, hey, we've left Lyon out too. They didn't play him in Jamaica. They didn't play him in Brisbane. So when he returned in Adelaide, he'd missed two of the three previous test matches basically on merit, on selection. And then they've gone with the same lineup essentially in Melbourne and Sydney with Lyon unavailable. They've decided not to play any spinner. Do you think it would be different if Lyon was fit and available?
I think they would have definitely considered him for sure. But I'm not convinced that Steve Smith rates spin. Is when he's been captain, he hasn't wanted a spinner in the side. So, you know, I remember in Jamaica, out of the camp said, oh, this is a one-off decision to leave Nathan Lyon out. This isn't the norm. This is a one-off event. Then it became a second event in Brisbane. Yeah. And it became a third event in Melbourne. Now it's become a fourth event in Sydney, not playing a frontline spinner. So I reckon there's a combination. They feel the surfaces aren't conducive to that. But also, I just wonder if they've got concerns about the spin stocks in Australia.
Did he even play in Jamaica? He had a broken finger. So Smith...
Cummins was captain. That was the Scotty Boland test, the hat-trick. Yeah. Bowled him out for 20.
Yeah, that test match.
I think Smith missed the first test.
I think, look, if Lyon's available, given how well he... has performed at different stages. Mind you, his record on this ground, he averages 39 at the SCG. So his record at spin on this wicket in recent times is not very good.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, with respect to Murphy, I'm not sure they're as confident in Murphy as they would be in Nathan Lyon. You know, and that's 560 test wickets.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you can't shy away from the fact the guy's got a 560 test wicket. Like, he's been around for a long period of time.
But we love to say, oh, there's no such thing as a dead rubber in test cricket. They all count, obviously, towards the World Test Championship nowadays too. But you've got the luxury that the series is done. At a certain point, we've got to find out about some guys, don't we? And maybe are they trying to find out about Bo Webster at this stage, who's obviously well into his 30s, but Nathan Lyon's not going to play forever. He's had some serious injuries where he did his calf, obviously, in the last Ashes. He's hurt his hamstring again here, which is a serious tear. At some point, Australia is going to need a replacement spinner, or perhaps they won't. Maybe this is the way forward in Australia where, you know, a spinner is no longer a guaranteed start.
Geez, I hope not. Geez, I hope that's not the thing.
It'd be a sad way to go, wouldn't it?
Well, it goes to show we're actually not getting it right in Shield cricket if we're not producing one spinner. That the Australian team are not confident
in. But we are. I mean, Corey Rocchelli's got how many wickets in the last few years. He's one of the leading wicket takers in state cricket over the last 3 years.
That's what I found. When Murphy got picked, right?
Yeah.
None of us, and we're all in Adelaide when Lyon went down, we're all standing there going, you know, who are you going to pick? And we're all going through the names, you know, Murphy, Kuhneman, Rocatelli,
Swepson,
yep. Tanvir Sanger. All of us, experts per se, or people that make comment on the game, if you want to call it that, had Rocatelli as the, because he bowls with the, a bit like Nathan Lyon, he wasn't bowling.
Overspin,
yeah. So the selectors are obviously seeing something different to all of us.
Yeah.
They've gone with Murphy as opposed to Rocatelli or Kuhneman.
I was going to say, I thought it would be Kuhneman, but it wasn't him either. So, I mean, that was an entertaining debate as to sort of who would it be and who would get the opportunity. And yet when the test rolled around, ultimately, he's not picked for either of them.
I mean, the reason I went down that path was because at the start, before the Ashes, Andrew McDonald and George Bailey both made it very clear that Sheffield Shield form will count towards selection. And they picked Jake Weatherald on the back of that.
Yep.
So Marnus Labuschagne had scored 100 after 100 after 100 for Queensland. He got picked on sure form. So by that logic, it stands to reason that Corey Rocatelli would get picked based on that criteria. But that clearly not the case. They love Todd Murphy, which is fine. I'm not begrudging Todd Murphy one whatsoever because he's a fine young bowler. But just the criteria and what the words that have come out of the Australian camp, it's a bit mixed.
Stumps on day one, 3 for 211. England, Root is 72, not out. Brook is on 78. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Stuart Clark on grandstand at stumps. So you alluded to the pitch. Stuart, you went out there and obviously had a look pre-play. How did it play?
Well, I think it played fairly well. It nipped around with a new ball, but that's good, and that's a good test wicket, in my opinion. Like, the ball nipped around. The Australians got the ball roughly in the right spot a period of time. England played at some balls maybe they shouldn't have and nicked a few. That's all pretty, you know, par for the course. And then it flattened out. And what I think it exposed is the wicket's a good batting wicket now. Like, there's not a lot of extreme pace or bounce in the wicket. There's a little bit of... But what it goes to show is, you know, with respect to Michael Nisa, with respect to... Scott Boland, Webster, and to be fair, Mitchell Starc looks a bit jaded. He's played all four tests, and so does Scott Boland. Is that you haven't got Cummins, Hazelwood, Starc, Lyon. You haven't got the big four, right? You've got one of the big four and some guys that are still finding their way or trying to find their way into national cricket. And I think, to be honest with you, they got a little bit exposed out there today on a wicket that looks pretty good for batting on, to be fair. I don't know what you thought it is, but...
No, I agree.
Once the ball got old, there wasn't... Yeah. We ran out of options, and Starc was the only option with some bumpers. And then, you know, ball fell in the gap there and stuff, but there wasn't much else after that.
I think you've summed it up perfectly. I think Starkey, I'll take your point on that. His pace was still... It was still 140.
Yeah.
But it's not like Adelaide where... remember that day two where it was 40 degrees and his average pace was 145. We didn't quite see that today, did we?
Would he be happy enough with what he's prepared, Adam Lewis, do you think? I mean, we heard from him yesterday. He talked about 6 mil of grass. I think he actually took another mil off it. He was talking about 5 mil this morning. So we were debating about... the moisture content given yesterday. He said, look, I actually need the sun to come out a little bit given the amount of moisture that's in it. And yet it looks like a pretty, as you said, benign pitch. Looked pretty good for batting. Would he be happy enough with what he's...
Well, I reckon he's gone through different emotions throughout the course of this day, right? Yes. Pre-match, sweat and bullets. just 1, 2, 3 for 50, lot of sweat.
Yeah.
Like, armpits are really, really stinky. 3 for 200... Is it 3 for 200 or whatever?
3 for 211.
On the cans.
Yep.
Good job, mate.
Happy with that.
Well, I was fortunate enough to meet him yesterday at a function just behind here at the football stadium, and I asked him specifically about the surface, and he was delighted. He was really happy. He said, "Look, it'll play well." He actually did say he thought it would take some turn as well, which that's why I've kind of been so forthright in my opinion on playing a spinner, but he was really happy with the surface. He had a tinge of nervousness because of obviously what happened in Melbourne, and had a lot of sympathy for Matt Page
last year as well. Don't forget it was
that's right.
It flew through and cracked everywhere. Tonight he's having dinner.
Yep,
he's probably into his second glass of wine, thinking, I've done a decent job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cricket Australia, cheers to you.
Story of the day on field. So when play started, England winning the toss and batting first. Ben Duckett really blazed a trail, didn't he, at the start? 27 off 24. It's his second highest score of the series. What's been a lean run and, of course, includes the episode in Noosa for him. So it hasn't been the tour that he's wanted it to be. Look, the goods hit six boundaries in his 27 and then nicked off the bowling of Stark. And Carey took a diving catch in front of first slip. And that triggered a little bit of a collapse. So England ended up losing 3-4-22 in the space of six overs. The next to go was Zach Crawley. He was hit in front off the bowling of Michael Neesa, sent it up for a review. Their decision on field was upheld, and Crawley was out for 16. And then the third of their three frontline seamers, Scott Boland, got himself involved. He dismissed the precocious Jacob Bethel. He was out for 10. He too was caught behind the wicket by the keeper off the bowling of Scott Boland for 10. So every player's made double digits so far. Series of starts in the top order, and really at 3-57, England would have been thinking, oh, holy smokes, here we go again. And they were staring down the barrel at that point.
Right, they certainly were. But then what we saw was just a really good, mature partnership that's ongoing at the moment between Root and Harry Brook. I think that both of them have been threatening to put in a performance like this, particularly Harry Brook. And, I thought he was excellent.
So just on that, so 154 unbroken by stumps, both of them making their way into the 70s. So Root 72, Brook 78. Darren Lehman mentioned during the commentary that he's a bit frustrated, that he feels like, where's this been? Where's this kind of knock been from Harry Brook and Joe Root throughout the series so far? And went as far as to say, if they played like this earlier, they'd be alive in actually trying to win the series down here. Is that, what do you make of those comments in what you saw today from that pair in the middle?
I think Buff is spot on, to be perfectly honest, because they have been threatening and you only have to look at, like, use Harry Brook as an example. He's got a lot of starts this season with this high score being 52 before this knock today. A lot of starts. So he's getting himself in. He's doing the hard work. He's getting through the tough periods. He's threatened to really crack this wide open. And who knows? Maybe, you know, there's been a lot of talk about preparation, hasn't there? And could England have done things differently and be better prepared for this series? That question will probably never be answered. But.
Oh, I thought Root's innings was, mate, world class. You know, he's arguably, you know, when you're talking to the players of this generation, you know, he's now up there, right?
Yeah, of course.
What he's done. Harry Brook's interesting. His innings was interesting in the sense that play some nice shots, but I reckon he doesn't like the short ball. He could actually just get out of the way for a period of time because they can't just bowl bumpers to him all day. But he's backing away and trying to hit him over the... Is that the way he bats, or does he genuinely not deal with it properly? It's a concern.
He can hook.
Yeah.
He can play the pull shot and hook shot, no problem. I don't know. I just sense he's just trying to really upset the rhythm of the bowler.
Do you know what he's doing? He thinks that there might be one with his name on it, and he thinks he's got to
go. But the one that went right in the gap, so there was three men out and then a fielder, and it went right in the middle there, and it was just a nothing shot. And I was like, I was on air with Aggers, and we were like, wait, what do you do? If you just got out of the way of that for another two overs, Stark's the only one that can really do that. And then
you've got
Webster's probably the other one. And if Webster's bowling bumpers at you, you're...
It's happy birthday.
Yeah, it's not going to, you know, not worrying you. You know, you're trying to headbutt them for four, let alone worry about getting hit. So, I don't know. I looked at that and went, I wonder if this is more than just him trying to be innovative. But then again,
there's something there?
I think there's something there, yeah. I don't know what... I'm not saying he can't play the short ball. I just don't think he likes being tied down. So he tries to get all innovative. And then when he does, it looks like he... You know, I saw him try and ramp one over the keeper and almost nicked it. And I'm like, mate, you're doing it so easily here. Why are you worrying about this rubbish? Just let it go for a period. You'll get three half volleys that you'll hit into the Bronco stand.
Yep, it'd be interesting to see how they go tomorrow. And the Joe Root conversation more broadly, I think, is fascinating. Where remember when he got on the plane and came down here, and he's been here multiple times in the past, and what we do in the sports media all the time is talk about, you know, what's a player's legacy and everything else. And you look at Joe Root and you think, one thing that's missing is success in these parts. And how's that measured? You know, it's measured by, you know, series wins, test wins, hundreds. And he'd never got 100 previously. He got 100 in Brisbane, albeit they lost that test. It was a pink ball day-night match. And then he got a test win in what was a, you know, a two-day crapshoot in a shootout, obviously, in Melbourne. And so If he gets runs here and all of a sudden he goes home with a couple of hundreds and they've won a test match, and you sort of think, does it change the conversation around him? Like, how much does it... I mean, other than looking at his stats and saying, hey, there's, you know, boxes ticked in a couple of these categories, I don't know if it's the tour he was anticipating, or it's probably even below... I think he would still admit that it's probably below par for him, even if he's able to get out of here with a couple of hundreds.
Absolutely no question. He would have been disappointed having, after four tests, only having that 100. And it was a fantastic knock, make no mistake about that. But he's more, knowing Joe the way I do, it's all about the team for him. And it's hurt him that they haven't been able to secure the Ashes, because they genuinely feel, and quite rightly, that this was their best opportunity in basically a generation. So for England to, I suppose, lose so badly the Ashes come Adelaide, they were pretty disappointed.
All right, early start tomorrow. So 10 a.m. is when things are going to get underway. So early start. We'll start half an hour earlier to make up for lost time. This has been Grandstand at Stumps. If you're listening on ABC Radio, stick around. More content coming up from the SCG. For everybody else, we will see you tomorrow morning back here on Grandstand Cricket. England 3 for 211.